You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming. So this is actually the second horror movie I've watched in the last year called Escape Room. And I, the first one we reviewed for Digital Noise was one of those direct to DVD things. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. But I didn't have to ask for them to send it to me. But here's the thing. I really like escape rooms a lot.
Which escape room would you want to be in more? The first one you saw or this one?
What do you mean? Oh, in that, neither one. They kill people. No, I mean, I'd love to be in both of them. Well, this second one, because it's a lot more expensive escape room than the first movie, if it didn't, you know, kill you or try to kill you.
Sure, but you could win money.
Yeah, it's still...
Not worth it for you?
No.
So wait, is the plot of that other escape room an escape room killing machine as well?
More or less, yeah.
Two movies, escape room,
well,
the same thing.
Well, they're both called escape room. It was kind of like... Kind of a given what the plot is.
Yeah,
right?
That's interesting about
Which is, when I was posting about Facebook, we're seeing this, how I usually go, I'm at this movie tonight. People, of course, said, oh, great, a remake of Cube. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. But, you know, Cube is a great movie that has a very similar premise in the days before there was, as far as I was aware of, such a thing as escape rooms, you know, a bunch of strangers locked in a mysterious area that have to solve puzzles using their wits to find their way out or they die. The only difference is all the rooms looked exactly alike in that one. And this new release, man, these are some seriously awesome murder rooms.
They have stepped their game up a little bit, yeah.
They have. But the ones reviewing this along with me are...
Alan.
Kem.
I was actually... Everyone's kind of so determined that this movie has to suck because it's a horror movie coming out in January. You know, if there's anything good that comes out in January, February, it's usually a surprise horror film.
Really? I wouldn't think it would be a surprise action comedy. Like Deadpool.
Yeah, you get those too, but those are the ones everybody's anticipating, going, well, that'll probably be good, but still. But it's one of those ones that I mean, like, no one has any expectations for. It's usually a horror
movie. Which could work in its favor. I mean, I went in with the lowest expectations humanly possible, and I was pleasantly okay with it.
Well, the guy who did this, Adam Robitel, directed and co-wrote the film The Taking of Deborah Logan, which is a pretty solid little horror film. If you check it out, it's on Shudder, I believe. It was on Netflix for a while. Co-wrote Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, which was not the strongest of the series, and directed Insidious, The Last Key, which was decidedly the worst of the series. So I was kind of like, well, we'll see. But those second two, those are like... deep into a franchise. At that point, it's kind of hard to do much with them. Here, this is a guy who's worked in franchises going, it's time for me to be the guy who started one of these fucking things.
It's about time.
And I have a feeling that this is might actually, assuming anyone goes out to see this, if horror fans show up to see this might be the one that did it. It certainly sold itself on a strong trailer in terms of like you really getting that feel for... how expensively designed these rooms are. Now, if you've never been to escape room, they lock a bunch of people in a room. You have to dig around to find clues, to solve puzzles, get keys to unlock doors and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just one room. Sometimes it's you unlock a thing and it just leads you into a whole other room with a whole other set of clues. This is the latter, where a bunch of strangers receive in the mail this mysterious black box that's a puzzle in and of itself. And when it unlocks, it gives them, oh, you have been officially invited. This is your free pass to... try out this new super exciting escape room. So these strangers go there. They all go, they meet up, and they're in this waiting room until they realize this isn't a waiting room. It's the first room in the escape rooms. And they make up of all types. You've got Deborah Ann Wolfe as the battle-scarred war veteran, which is kind of cool to see.
You never see that in a horror movie.
Yeah, especially
a woman.
Yeah, the really tough one is the woman. And I was like, oh, cool.
She honestly was wasted in this film, in my opinion, but she had the most well-rounded story for as much screen time as she received.
Well, you have Logan Miller, who plays kind of the slacker who's trying to get his life together, but it just isn't really good at finding any direction.
You can tell because he has long hair and he's dirty.
And he smokes.
Yeah, Tyler Labine, who I love, always welcome in horror movies. He's the guy who's kind of the trucker guy.
Oh.
Come on, you never seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
I haven't seen that in a while, okay. And I definitely didn't recognize him.
Fair enough. Jay Ellis plays the sort of yuppie,
somebody calls him Wall Street dude.
Like the American Psycho wannabe.
Yeah.
They set him up early on to be like, this is the guy you're not going to like throughout the movie. Hate him.
They were not wrong. Nick Dodani playing this kid who is really loves escape rooms and has done a lot of them. And then Taylor Russell as a young girl in college who is obviously a math, prodigy,
yeah, she's a genius, but she's shy and awkward.
Has trouble communicating with people and what have you. So they're all in there and they're trying to solve this. Like, oh, this is fun. Some are like, this is fun. Others are like, this is annoying. Until they realize that first room that they barely got out of was flat out going to murder them if they hadn't. And from there, the traps get more and more devious, more and more elaborate. And we're not talking about Saw, like one of those things, a voice comes over and like, you must choose which one of you dies.
Yeah, like you must
survive.
Cut off a pound of flesh to move on.
No, it feels
you just have to solve a puzzle.
It feels like there's a lot of ways this could go, but each room ends up having, as they discover, like a limit, a timer of some sort that makes it where if they don't get it done by this time, ain't nobody going to make it out of that room alive.
Well, the cool part about the timer, some rooms actually have a timer, and then some rooms are, you're going to not make it physically because either you're going to freeze to death or
burn to death.
The elements of the room are crumbling around you, so you have to get out of it.
And as it goes along as well, you start realizing that whoever set up this devious trap knows a lot about every single one of these people because somehow these rooms all specifically tie into things in their lives.
Yes, traumatizing moments.
Yeah. And I think what you got here is a movie that its strongest thing is its set pieces and set design. Holy shit. These rooms are amazing.
Yes. If the escape room was a character, this would be an amazing movie.
I was going to say it's pretty much the only strong point the movie has going for it. The characters we were talking about, all one-dimensional. Some of the performances, they do their best to elevate that above that, and some of them succeed, some of them are very flat. Throughout the movie, but the escape rooms, like from room to room, it really moves it. They're creative. Like every time, it's like I found myself excited once one room is like coming to an end. It's like I'm excited to see what this next like fucked up puzzle is.
Well, you're excited, and if you're me, you're also very tense because you're like, oh god, what is this going to do? What if they touch that? You're just like jumping in your skin, which I think added to the build up of the movie because every room you knew the stakes were going to be raised. So the tension, even though you could, the characters, you didn't really care if they lived or died so much. You just wanted to know what this room did.
Yeah. That's what it was. It's like one of them are going to die in the next room. Probably but how are they going to die? And that was like kind of the fun. The movie was fun in that regard.
And it sets you up with certain expectations that you have as a horror viewer. And then towards the end kind of plays with those things a little bit. Like it does some things that maybe you don't exactly expect, but then ultimately fall into exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
This isn't like the world's most original horror film. It's just one of the cooler looking horror films we've seen in a while. And it is indeed, it's going to fall into that for that crowd. And they're just like, I just want to see a movie. My girlfriend will shriek next to me and we'll have fun. And that's not boring because despite the fact these characters don't get a lot of time to really, be developed. I mean, the idea is they're on a limit. If they really slowed down to do that, you'd be like, guys, death. Incoming.
Yeah.
Let's get this moving here. And I feel like it's not really that badly hurt by that fact. It would have been nice to find... I mean, that's the attempt of saying, like, oh, the designers knew something about all these people when it ties in. So you can throw in a little bit of character background. But you're right. Ultimately, most of these characters are just kind of forgettable. The star of this movie is the rooms themselves and the way they're designed and the way that they figure out the puzzles. I mean, like I said, if this was a real place but that didn't kill you, I would totally be doing this escape room.
Yeah. I think my biggest pet peeve, I mean, I'm not even going to touch on the ending right now, which...
Yeah. Well, we don't do spoilers.
It would be a spoiler, but I've heard a lot of reviews in the past where they'll say, oh, this movie was... I was okay with this movie. This was a pretty good movie. But then the last, final chapter of the movie is what killed it. And I feel like this movie, in my opinion, it started off kind of, I didn't know how I felt about it. The middle part where they were getting through the rooms was very strong. And then the ending, I was like, why did you do that? I was here for it. I like this so much. And then you it's like you shot me in the back.
Well, they had to have a way to make the story go on.
Yeah.
And they have to, with these type of franchises, you have to dole out little parts of the background and the backstory and who these people are and why is this happening. Yeah. Like, you have to give them a little bit, taste just enough so people go, I'd watch a sequel. I want to know more about
that. It wasn't even that they gave us taste at the end. They, like, gave us the first course of the next meal. Because they were like, you want this. We want you to want this.
But I bet you anything, the sequel, and when it inevitably comes, won't even involve those
even
characters.
Touch,
they won't even bring it up.
I think
they'll be like, no, that never happened.
It was kind of a Final Destination ending.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I think this movie has all the trappings of this type of PG-13 horror movie. Like, some characters are unreasonably, like, they're just like a huge asshole for a moment. It's not really earned. They just do something that's like, It's to drive the plot because they have to be an asshole for this thing to happen, for that thing to happen. Or someone's like, gets way too aggressive, or someone gets way too scared, or just before that, or maybe just after that, they're not quite that aggressive or quite scared.
Right.
But we need someone to do this to push this forward. And the thrills kind of like go up and down for me from room to room. Like some of them were really well done, executed. I was like, edge of my seat. And some of them was like, just hurry up and do the thing so I can see the person jump through the thing.
And
I know
some of the
happening.
Things are implausible. There's one with like a fast-acting drug that I'm like, that's not how drugs work, guys. There's no drug in the world.
Although that was one of my favorite sequences when that first happened.
It's really cool.
It's really silly. Like, the movie is fun, and it's silly, and it kind of knows that its strengths are these different rooms and how they can mess with it. It's shot differently in each room. Like, and it is good in that regard. Like, they have some trouble with some of the thrills, like, pacing for me. Like, editing-wise, some of it falls flat. Some of it really works. It's a little inconsistent. But, yeah, like, that drug sequence in that one room, or there's another room where it's, like, ice cold, and, like, it's shot differently in each one. It's fun. It's a fun movie to watch and engage with.
Yeah, they made it real pretty. And they definitely show you things that are just, wow, fun to watch as they play out. And it doesn't stay in one place for long enough for you to get bored. That's the advantage here. God, imagine how good this would have been if they actually had a decent script writer and not just a puzzle designer working on this.
Because absolutely.
This movie desperately could have used better punch up. A lot of the humor here just ends up with characters being annoying when they're supposed to be funny. And you're like, okay, that character, that guy's just a jerk. I don't know, were we supposed to laugh at that? But not to the point that you're groaning or rolling your eyes or anything. You're just like, this feels like network television, right?
Yeah, it's like it's par for the course, this type of movie that PG-13 or light R horror that comes out around this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are just like complete slogs and like so cliche and awful. Some of them have bright spots, and this is one with a fair amount of bright spots.
Yeah, it definitely has enough going for it that it stands out from the rest of the crowd, including the other movie called Escape Room, which is also worth checking out. And I think makes for generally a fun time in the theater for people who don't go, I just don't like horror films. If you're one of those people, this ain't going to be for you either. You know, it's not gory at all. It's like, you know, almost everything is going to be off camera or implied or what have you. There's not a lot of like actual on screen like bloodletting whatsoever.
But what is implied is violent. It's implied that people die in very horrific ways.
Not fun ways to go out.
Yes.
Not sure there is a fun
There's
way
not
to
many
go out,
fun ways. I mean, maybe under somebody, but that's a whole different story.
People always say, you know, you should die doing what you love. I'm like, I can't think of anything more horrifying than dying during sex. That's like, what an awful thing to have. All I could think of is how traumatized the person you were having sex with was going to feel for the rest
It's not
of
about them,
life.
It's about you. Going out on a high note.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
But I think the biggest crime this movie commits is being too predictable. I feel like halfway through the movie, I pretty much knew how it was going to wrap up. You knew who was going to survive from the first couple scenes, just by the way they focus on their story. I was waiting for something to happen at the end where I'd be like, oh, I did not see that coming, but literally nothing.
Well, in the very first scene of this movie shows like one of the last people who survives, and you're like, okay, so what you're telling me is you're showing me who's going to make it to the end. And then, of course, the movie is fully intent on playing with you on that. Because you're like, oh, it's playing against tropes. No, it's not. It's totally sticking in the tropes. Yeah. Trust me.
It's doing exactly what you think it is. And also the opening of the movie was, this kills me. Like, screenwriters are like, filmmakers need to understand that there is a such thing as visual storytelling. The moment it opens, the guy's like, okay, it's a code. I need a code. One, no. Oh, the clock says this. And he's like narrating everything he's doing. It's like, I understand you have to like bring the audience with you a little bit, but you could show some of this purely visually. And it is
this needed
so
a Raimi style with one of those zoom to stuff.
Show me the clue. Don't have the character say out loud the clue as he's fighting for his life.
That being said,
ridiculous.
If you've ever done an escape room, you do tend to narrate absolutely everything. Partially because there's other people in the room and everybody's kind of listening to each other to see, like, wait, I have something that matches that thing. Yeah. In that case, there was no one else in the room. But still.
I think they showed that scene at the beginning because they didn't trust the audience to remain attentive throughout. They were like, just hold on and action's coming, because there's a whole 20 minutes of setup.
Which is weird, because I didn't feel like the setup was intolerable. I was like, okay, this is fine.
I thought it was groan-worthy, some of the lines people were saying, especially Jay Ellis, his character, the businessman. Oh, the businessman. His whole intro scene was just like, oh, really? I would see this on ABC Family somewhere.
I expect most horror movies to have 20 minutes of, like, yeah, okay, you just want to show us the characters, fine. So it's kind of one of those, like, settle in, it'll get started eventually. You know, 20 minutes, I guess, all things considered, isn't too bad. But yeah, I agree, it does, like, they don't trust the audience there. And it's also, like, if you're going to do that, why show us something that happens later in the movie? Why not show us something that happened to, you know, the last guy who did the escape room?
Yeah, like, the heart cold open is no thing. Like, start with the scare, get it going, titles. Like,
especially
awesome.
Because they allude to this not being the first escape room.
Not even
this
close
group,
to.
But they're like, oh, we've done this dozens of times with different groups of people. Let's see some of those people instead of exactly what Chris said. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think there is more than enough strong stuff here, especially for a January release that this is, especially if you're even vaguely a horror fan and you're not one of those people that I have to have lots of gore or I hate this horror movie. If you're one of those people, this isn't for you. If you're one of those people who's like, I hate horror movies altogether, this is not for you. But if you're somewhere in between there, I think you could really enjoy this. Kim, what's your final thoughts?
I'm going to kind of disagree as far as horror goes. I don't know if this is a horror movie. I felt like it was more of a thriller. There weren't horror movies to me. I know you're the horror guy, but I feel like they're more like jump scares, ghouls, a killer walking around, something like that. This was more of like a mind... Can we curse on this?
Yes.
Okay, man, this was like... Been? Sorry, this is like a mindfuck movie, in my opinion. It wasn't anything that I
mean,
was...
You've been to The Gathering.
I know. I put maybe kids listen to this. Yeah,
that's on that.
Sorry, kids.
Go tell your mom the new word you learned today from Kim.
The definition of mindfuck is... Anyway, this movie... To me, I'm not going to stay awake at night worrying about if I'm in an escape room. That's how I feel a horror movie has to be set up. If I'm awake at night, like, oh, what's that around the corner? Is it that thing? This, to me, was a flat-out thriller, and in that regard, I think it did a really, really good job at building tension. And now that I'm thinking about it, while I was watching the movie, I did not like the characters. I didn't care about them, all except Deborah and Wall, who, again, was wasted. But that made it lose points in my book, but then after the movie, talking about it, I'm kind of like, yeah, they are setting this up to be the first movie in a series of movies, and in that case, they don't need to focus on the characters. The characters are irrelevant. The setting, the rooms, those are the relevant. That's what people are going to come back to see more of.
Horror franchises, if they do have a running character, it's usually one who comes back from the first movie in, like, the third or fourth movie.
I'm going to say, and again, this movie was... It was predictable, but it's saved so much by the set design. The rooms, they kept getting better and better. And also, I just want to point this out, the winner of this escape room gets $10,000, which is not enough money.
Why wasn't it
at all?
That
drove me crazy the whole movie. I'm just like, they are doing this for $10,000. Wow. But anyway, I'm going to give this a... The first two parts of this movie would probably have been a 6. The last third of this movie was like a 1, the way they really hammered home how they want a sequel. So I'm going to balance this out at a 3. $1,000 for your life.
We just, before you get to yours, I just want to say, I take umbrage with your definition of a horror film.
I knew you would.
You're just trying to define one as it has to be scary. There's plenty of great horror movies that are by definition not
Name
scary.
Two.
The Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness.
I thought they were scary.
You thought those movies were scary?
The Evil Dead?
Boy, I can give you Evil Dead.
The new one was scary.
But there's no way.
The new one is scary.
There's no way you think The Evil Dead 2 is scary.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen The Evil Dead 2, I don't think.
But there's plenty. Believe
All right.
Me.
I knew. You, I knew. I'm in the.
A lot,
in
I mean,
the
like the
minority.
Final Destination movies aren't scary at all. They're just roller coaster ride movies.
Well,
you know,
they're like horror situations.
This is like things. Yeah, but so is this. People are getting killed one after another by evil diabolical like brain trust. You know, come on.
All right.
Horror movie.
We'll agree to disagree, Chris.
Fair enough, Alan.
Yeah, I agree with almost everything you said on this one. And talking about who this movie's for, it's not really for, like, horror fans. You know, like, they're going to roll their eyes at most of this. It's for, like, the mall crowd, teenagers. It's like, the classic one of these movies. If you've seen one of them, you've seen them all kind of situation. And if you're especially bored, matinee-style Sunday, like, go for it. You know, it's worth checking out. It's characters are flat. There's a couple funny lines in there, a couple decent performances, nothing that sticks out like, oh, this guy was great, or this girl was hilarious, or this was really fun. It's just all kind of there. It's right across the middle. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 unreasonably easy to ridiculously hard clues to find.
Man, you guys were a lot harder on this movie than I was. I actually, you know, as much as I don't think the acting is bad in this, actually, though, the acting on the whole wasn't too bad at all, especially Deborah Ann Woll, who's damn giving it her best shot.
She is.
I
will
say, I didn't think
nothing.
It's bad. This is not, this is fine.
They're written acceptably, but nothing more than that. And I think that's like better than I expect in most of these horror movies. I watched like 3 of them over Christmas break that I got sent on Blu-ray, and I was like, wow. Where do they get these people from? And this one, I'm like, everyone in here is acceptable. No one is terrible. Even the script is like, well, you got it up to the bare minimum it needed to be at for this dialogue to not make you just constantly roll your eyes at, like, no one would ever say that. I was like, okay. There's a lot of sort of like, especially if you see the structure of horror going like, obviously now somebody has to do this or they can't get to this point. And it gets more complicated when you're dealing with a massive puzzle system in each room that we have to make sure that they find all the pieces to do the thing to get it together. It's kind of a complicated setup to write good dialogue inside of. And which is why I argue the best thing this movie could have done is gotten a good comedy writer in there to really punch up those scenes and make them funny as well to cut the tension, which is a big thing this is missing. I mean, fuck's sakes, you have Tyler Labine in here and you barely attempt to even make him funny. And that guy is hysterical. Like, he is so good in the movies I've seen him in and TV shows. Have you ever seen the show Reaper?
No, I haven't seen Reaper. I know.
Of course, seen Tucker and Dale.
Yeah, Tucker and Dale. Yeah.
So, but he's been in a lot of stuff. But the puzzles in here are so much fun to watch play out. I ended up having a good time. Yeah, this is a January release movie for sure. It's just not absolute garbage like most of them are. It's a film that they're like, horror fans don't care what month it is. And they never release the good ones in October when they should. So here you go. It's January. It's the room where all the movies that the studio has confidence in move out of the way. So the movies the studio have no idea how they're going to do can step in. And Escape Room is one of those films that I think is perfectly acceptable PG-13 horror, better than the bulk of the lot of these things you get, because most PG-13 horror is pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I kept saying it's like those PG-13 horrors, but most of those movies are so forgettable, I couldn't think of a quick example that's out there, because they're just all so samey. And this is a board above that. It's not the same thing.
Because of the nature of the puzzles, it really does take a step above those films, I think. It's like, wow, this is different from those other films. And that is kind of enough as a horror fan. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'd definitely watch another one of these. I just hope that I want this to perform really well. So they go, we need to spend more money on a sequel and make it better. Like, you know, Final Destination 2 was so much better than Final Destination 1. They need to step up their game for a second one if they really want this to go as a franchise and not just, oh yeah, that just okay horror film that had a much worse sequel. But I did enjoy this. I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10. keys I've hidden inside this room that you must find before the timer counts down to zero.
Then you let the cats out.
Yeah, well, you say cats, but I actually imported some Bengal tigers for the occasion.
Oh, big cats.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do this right.